One Love Foods Live, serious chef talk. Chef Plum.
I was a pro wrestler and a Laser Quest champion.
Chef Jeff.
People like me a lot.
Chef Dan.
Man, all that hard salsa, man, got me bench pressing Yorkies.
Chef Rob.
I'm bougie.
The Hulkster.
Brother, how's Arby scarfing down a chicken cordon bleu?
Chef Dave.
I don't have AIDS, I have Lyme disease. It's different.
Plum Love Foods Live every Thursday at 10 p.m. on Spreaker Radio and podcasted everywhere.
I have no idea why people listen to this.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Can you shut the fuck up for 30 seconds? You might learn something.
Number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your Nissan claws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Yeah. Live as live can be here on a Thursday morning, Jeffy.
Yes.
Thursday morning live. Which I guess isn't really live as the show's airing at 10 o'clock at night, but
We're live.
We're coming to you from the past. That's right. Jeffy and I are the ghosts of Christmas past. Even though it's not Christmas. That doesn't make any sense. What kind of ghost would we be? Ghosts of Christmas. How about just no Christmas?
Ghosts. The walk-in.
Yeah, ghosts of the walk-in. That's what we are. We're here for you right now. It's your boy, Chef Plum. Chef Jeff, Plum Love Foods Live here on a Thursday. Living the dream and keeping it clean. It's your boy, Jeffy and Plum. And we're excited to be sitting here talking to you. Jeff, good evening, buddy. Good afternoon. Good morning. How are you?
Living the dream, my man. Every day, doing the do. Get ready for a big party. Going to throw down this afternoon. Super excited.
Yeah, can we talk about that for a second? What's going on with you tonight? Like, tell people what the heck.
I can't really talk about it, but I'm just excited. I have a lot of I have an opportunity to work with some culinary heroes of mine for a private event, and I'm just really excited to be there. So it's going to be really cool.
You really can't talk about who's like what's happening.
No, I signed some pretty strict NDAs that I prefer not to talk about any of that. But I just know that your boy is going to be out there living his dream, living his best life.
Huh. I didn't sign the NDAs. Can I talk about
it? Nope.
I did. Oh. Well, it's pretty awesome, though. No? We can't.
It's super awesome, but it's also it's directly related to my client, and I can't. You know, we can't talk about that part.
Even like a hint?
Yeah. I'm going to be working with some of my culinary heroes. It's going to be great. They're doing a dinner for my regular client, and I'm going to be there facilitating and hanging out with them, and I'm really excited. I'll fill you guys in, and I'll get the approval, and next time we're on, I'll tell the stories.
Like, we can't even give initials?
Nope. Not yet.
What about middle names?
Maybe I shouldn't have brought it up. Now I feel like a dick. But,
So what are you tonight? Oh.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Thank you. Oh, he's right about that. Jesus. Look out. There's a snake over there. Jeffy, be careful. We hear it.
Yeah, I hear something.
Wow. All right. Well, that's kind of... I thought we could talk about it. I'm kind of thrown now. I was excited.
I shouldn't have brought it up. I feel bad. It's good stuff. It's all good things. All right. Good things. 2020, seeing things clearly, life is good.
Well, I want to talk about it when it's done. How about that? Can you take pictures while you're there?
That's what
or
I'm
no?
saying. I'm gonna get some pictures. I'm gonna take some pictures. I'm going to try to get some selfies. I'm gonna get some approval, and when I get some approval, I will definitely enlighten the world about it. It'll be super fun. If I don't get the approval and they're dicks, maybe we'll talk about it then too. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah. All right, well, maybe next time then. Maybe next time. Anyway, Jeff's got a really fun thing going on tonight, and I was trying to pull it out of him, but he doesn't want to let me know.
Not yet. Not yet. We'll talk about it. I've been really busy. I was so busy I had to miss Elite Chef last week, which was sad but also awesome. You know, because I got to be surprised like the rest of the world and you know, watch the episode, and it was awesome.
Pretty fun to see though, wasn't it?
It's super fun to see. It's super fun to not be there after have been there for the last five episodes. After had been there, it's very nice. Anyway, after I was there, and I know what goes into each episode, and I know all the, like, you know, do this again and do that, and, like, you know, all this other stuff, and, you know, all the setting up of shots, and just to, like, see it and not know of any of the stuff that went into it, it had my head reeling, because I was like, oh, I wonder how this worked out, or I wonder how they got that, or I wonder, you know, I looked at everything with a different set of eyes, I realized, which is really cool.
So what we basically did is we had all of our eliminated chefs come back and compete for one final remaining spot in the finale with our two finalists. All right, so were you surprised to see who ended up winning there, Jeff?
I wasn't surprised because who won is a G. We can talk about it. It's out, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's out. Yeah, so Mark won, and he is not only is he our oldest contestant, he's also our most experienced contestant. So I thought, you know, good chances to put your money on Mark.
Yeah, I thought of him or John was my kind of guess, but you know, the second place, the person who came in second, we don't talk about that, is Rebecca.
Rebecca, right? Second, yeah.
It was close.
She's hungry, you know, and she's got a thriving business in Hartford there, I think, right, or West Haven, she's a hungry chef, and she knows what she's doing, and I think she was really bummed to go out on the first round.
Absolutely.
So for her to come back and come in second, that's great. I also was really surprised that we didn't see our boy Tom come back. You know, two-time Tom, he won two of the episodes. He was coming in really, really strong. I was really feeling it, and. You know, it didn't work out for him. That bummed me out too. But he's a great guy, and I'm excited for him. Up in where is it? At
he's
the Chester?
Up in, he's up in Manchester, Connecticut, I believe.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah,
but
yeah.
He's a good chef, man. On the episode, he made soup as well. Which I mean, dude, making a soup and like your main dish—that's in a short amount of time. That's crazy.
It's absolutely crazy, and to make it taste good. I mean, come on. I mean, it's I those chefs. All of them, phenomenal chefs. Phenomenal chefs, great personalities, great people. Their food's great. I mean, even the ones that lost, don't get it twisted. Every dish that we tasted was delicious. Somebody just has to go home. They're all great.
It's just the way
they're
it goes.
All amazing chefs.
I say it all the time. I felt bad. It's unfortunate somebody has to go. And, you know, in this particular episode, one person gets to move on. And it was good brother Chef Mark Vaquito. And he made a giant-ass sandwich.
Yeah, he did. The flagship of all sandwich Rubens.
Right.
Huge. You can still get it, too. I've been seeing pictures of it all over Instagram and Facebook. People have been tagging me. And, man, it's enormous. I saw one girl next to her head. It was literally bigger than her whole face.
Absolutely.
And it was half a sandwich.
It was ridiculous, right? It was ridiculous. Well, tonight, we got a great guest on. We have our friend Kat Kluger, the head boss lady at Little Bird. Told me social media is going to come on and give some marketing tips. It's a really good interview. We're excited about it. She knows
awesome.
A lot of stuff. She's one of the people that helped make Elite Chef happen. And, you know, with Kat, she has some great tips and for everyone to hear. It's a great knowledge. So I thought it'd be good to bring her on and talk about it. And Jeff, it was a good interview, wasn't it?
It was a great interview. Kat is not only is she super, super smart when it comes to social media and marketing, she is a gem of a human being. She is just the sweetest person, and she's thoughtful, and she just wants to see people succeed, and I think that's what's really, really awesome about her. I mean, just a positive, another positive guest here on Plum Love Foods Live.
No doubt about it, man. So check it out. We are going to take a quick breather, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by the one, the only, Kat Kluger, talking all about how to market yourself. Even if it comes down to it, you can market a giant-ass sandwich like our good friend Mark Vaquito made on Elite Chef, you know? Maybe figure out a way to market that. It's Chef Plum and Chef Jeff. We'll see you guys in 2 seconds. Stay right there. We'll be right back with Plum Love Foods Live. Oh, yeah, Dave. Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco, and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM, that's ErgoChef.com. Back right now, Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy, Chef Plum. Chef Jeff here on a Thursday. Thirsty Thursday, yeah. Jeffy. That's what we used to call it in college.
Thirsty Thursday.
Did you have a thirsty Thursday, Jeffy?
Yeah. I was like malnourished Mondays. Two for Tuesdays.
You know, it's funny you should say that because I get mistaken for being malnourished all the time now.
I'm just because of that bloated tummy of yours. That's what happens.
That's not... I don't think it's very nice of you to say. You know, I think it's a very svelte-like, Adonis-like figure.
That's not what it is. It's not a tapeworm, then. So listen, you're sure.
Maybe. Let me tell you what it is, though. I think that it's all about how you word it. It's all about how you put it out there, Jeffy, right? That's what it's about. It's about putting the right face on it. So, clearly, you know,
exactly.
We're saying that I have an Adonis-like figure. Just currently, maybe I have a... It's behind a refrigerator door right now, my six-pack, right?
I like to say it's a thin veil of lardo.
I don't know what that means, but lardo hurt my feelings. All I know is this.
Lardo is cured pork belly.
I know, but it still hurt. A little bit. But the good news is that we have lots of great PR friends who can help us reword these things to sound better in front of groups of people, right?
Thank God.
Thank God. The bottom line is, tonight, our guest... really good friend of mine. She is one of the brains behind the fantastic digital series we've been working on here on the show, Elite Chef. She is the head boss lady of A Little Bird Told Me, digital media, creative service, brand development, public relations, everything you could possibly want. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my good friend, Kat Kluger. Kat, how are you this evening?
What's
good up? Evening.
Good evening. I have to say, I know we're over the radio, but you look fantastic today.
Hey!
First thing I thought is, you've been working out. That's it.
Look, it's all about marketing. It's all about public relations, Jeffy. That's what I'm talking about.
Hold on.
See?
Hold
perception.
On. Was there a deal worked out before the show?
There was a lot of money. But you know,
was there a money exchange? Yeah, okay.
Wait a minute. You don't have to say that part of it. I'm pretty sure that's not the deal.
It's a sponsored post, and it's brought to you by Weight Watchers, actually.
Oh, Jesus.
Or WWE, something going on.
Oh, my God. So, you guys, Kat is awesome.
For the bleachers.
She's swinging. She called her shot immediately. She pointed out to the crowd and hit the ball out of the park. Meanwhile, I'm sitting down here counting the lights, looking straight up and down like a jabroni. That's what happened to me here. It's terrible.
Look, I don't want the FTC coming after you guys because we're not talking about money when it changes hands. You've got to be really careful.
You do.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jeffy, you hope you're
people
taking notes.
People play fast and loose with sponsored content nowadays. You just, you know, it's not worth it.
So, Kat, you have a great... Oh, let's start like this. You and I have been friends now for a couple of years.
Absolutely.
And, you know, working on a few things together, and we kind of hit it off. I mean, there's just some people that you work really well with, and I think you and I work very well together.
I think we do too. You know, it's always a pleasure. The energy's great. That's what I really love about working with you, Chef, particularly in the TV mode, is TV always has some energy. You know, as a PR person, totally. It's so much fun to go on any TV set and see it all come together and all the work that goes in behind the scenes. But anything you do, just killing it. You know, the food, the passion, all of it. It's always good.
You're very kind. And you finally got to meet Jeffy, which is my left and right hand, my heart. My heart, Jeffy.
Yes.
My heart.
Oh, you should have been in the room.
Feel my beating heart.
Yeah. He really gets to know everybody.
That's right.
It was a very honest conversation with all of those, you know, nice drinks they have at Alyssa involved in. None of it that I can discuss on the radio, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
Well,
a lot of love being thrown around that room. Come on, it was beautiful.
There was a lot of bonding.
That's true. So, Kat, talk a little bit about exactly what it is that you do. I know what you do, but no one's going to talk about you better than you. So give us a little rundown, kind of a cliff notes of what exactly A Little Bird Told Me does.
Absolutely. So we're in hospitality marketing. We're really comfortable in hospitality marketing. My husband, as you know, owns Harford Baking Company. So I'm fortunate that I get to see both sides of the equation from a marketing perspective, because I get to work with them as a client, but I also get to see behind the scenes what goes into running a business, especially a food-related business. It's literally blood, sweat, and tears a lot of the time to make this stuff. As you guys know, there's a lot of passion, and that passion drives what we do, and we really love working with our foodie clients. And it's important to have a niche, especially in this day and age, because the internet is friggin' huge. You just can't do everything. You can't.
Absolutely.
So you got to specialize at some point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's great. What makes you good at what you do is that you do have a different perspective, a unique perspective that a lot of marketing agencies and PR places don't have, is that you do have, you know, Harford Baking Company, that, you know, your husband is his company or his restaurants. And I mean, by default, that's yours too. So you kind of have that unique perspective that others don't have.
Right. And, you know, also part of that is just being really realistic about the amount of time that it takes to execute things, doing them properly in terms of any kinds of events when you have a restaurant, because most restaurants are just like a tightly run machine, and anything out of the ordinary that you throw into the day can cause chaos if you don't manage it correctly. You know, we had an event that we did 2 weeks ago where I think I had 10 phone calls about this one event. Very, very easy thing. Just a little extra bread that we needed for one specific thing. But everything is so tight and everyone is so busy all the time, it's difficult. So if you don't keep that in mind and you don't have empathy when you're working with hospitality people in terms of the hours that they're putting in, the fact that they're not in front of a computer checking email all day, it's very difficult to get anything done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to point out too, Jeffy, you weren't following me there in the intro for Kat. I was trying to segue into using her marketing skills to make me sound like I was a muscular fiend, like using that. But you didn't follow me there. You kind of just threw me under the bus. I mean, I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I thought you'd get my
I'm
back.
I'm sorry. I thought
he doesn't sound sorry. I'm just going to throw that out there.
See?
No, I'm so sorry. Oh. I'm so sorry.
This is because you're angry about the fact that we found out that you're the question mark.
Stop it.
All right.
I'll belly bump you to the ground.
That's a whole other story, Kat. We apologize. We're segueing. We shouldn't talk about these things in front of our guests. I apologize.
I know.
No, I want to find out. You're going to have to tell me later.
Well, look, we'll make it short and simple. There's a brand new pro wrestling thing that started up. It's old pro wrestling called NWA. It's come back. It's very old school. It's run by Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins. And there is a character on there, very 1980s. He wears a mask. He has a beard because you can see it coming out from under the mask. It looks like Jeff. And we're pretty convinced that Jeff is this character called the question mark. And he goes down to Atlanta once a month to shoot and it comes back. If you want to admit it. You want to admit it.
That's a good theory. I'm going to have to watch this because, you know, oddly enough, wrestling was a huge part of my childhood. I grew up in Hawaii.
I don't think
my
babysitter
was
really?
Japanese, and a huge part of Japanese culture in the 80s was WWE. They loved that stuff.
Do you know how close I was for Elite Chef to reaching out to WWE and getting someone to come?
I'm glad we're doing season two because this has to be a thing.
Are you kidding me? Like, I thought you would have killed me if I did that.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Are you kidding? These are very entertaining people. I mean, again, you talk about difficult things to do. You're literally, you know, beating the crap out of your body while you're on TV with an audience live.
Did you know, Kat, when I lived in Virginia, I went to pro wrestling school and I'm a licensed professional wrestler.
I believe it. I could see it. I mean, you got the hair for it. So
Well, yeah, but you're right about one thing. It's those people are great talkers. They're great talkers on a microphone. They're great talkers in front of a crowd, which I think is super important. You know, before I would do television segments, I would watch old Dusty Rhodes and old, like, just old 1980 wrestlers promos. And I think that a lot of that stems from watching myself and seeing where I can get better. And I think when you work with certain restaurants and you give them TV spots, they're not always great, are they?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, no, no. A lot of what we do, especially if we're working with a new client, is prepping them for TV. Because it's very easy to get deer in the headlights. And look, some chefs love it. They're naturals like yourself. But some chefs just want to freaking cook.
Yeah.
And that's what they like. And they're not necessarily comfortable in front of people. Maybe that's why they started to be in the kitchen to begin with, because they didn't want to have to talk to people all the time. I get it. So you throw a TV camera in front of them, you know, all the variables that go along with it. A lot of people don't know what to expect when they get to a studio. What kind of pots and pans am I going to have?
Right.
Am I going to be able to cook? What happens if, you know, there's something big that happens on the news that day? And they take a 4-minute segment and they turn it into a 90-second segment. And then you have to be ready for that live. So there's a lot that goes into it. And that's certainly a big part of what we do on the public relations side, is just making people comfortable, working with the producers, and just giving people as much detail as possible, which I think, honestly, is one of the benchmarks of executing any event successfully, is detail, detail, detail. All that fine print, all the boring stuff, the non-sexy stuff, that's what makes things work.
You're 100% right. I mean, so what if you, so we have a lot of young culinarians who check out this program, and, you know, they check it out, they listen, maybe they're starting to get into doing those sort of, you know, news segments and things like that to promote their restaurants. How about you and I really quick give our top three tips when doing a news segment?
Oh, cool. Absolutely. You want to start?
I'll start, or you're ladies first, if you like.
No, I think that we should do age before beauty, but thank you for offering.
Wait, what does that mean? You just call me old?
Ooh, did I? What do you think, Jeff?
I just keep taking right hooks out of nowhere.
Listen,
I'm sorry.
I approve this message.
Damn you, Jeffy. Damn you, Jeffy. Damn you straight to hell.
Friends now.
From now on, when Jeffy talks, all he's going to hear is this.
Shut up, dummy!
I like that you have that recorded ready to go. It's great.
Oh, I have a whole soundboard.
Just in case you need it.
Yeah, you should listen to the show more. I have a ton of them. okay, so number one.
Absolutely.
Always bring your complete dish fully complete to the newscast. Be there with a finished product.
Absolutely.
Always.
Absolutely.
Finished product. Number two, don't worry so much about finishing the dish. It's more about being entertaining and getting your plugs out. No one actually cares if you finish.
No.
I mean, if they want to care, they can go see the recipe online, right?
Right.
And number three, let the host drive the bus. Let them dictate where it goes, but don't let them walk all over you.
Right.
I remember when you got me in contact with our local NBC station here, the new show, the new NBC live show they do. I did a segment with Taylor. And she said to me, she goes, I have a feeling that you don't really need a lot of help here, do you? And I was like, nah, we'll have a lot of fun. It'll be great. And literally, it came on. And, you know, I can be very loud. Immediately, like this, I ran her segment for her. She was totally like, what just happened? And she thought it was great. She was like, you need to be here every week. This is amazing.
Right, right. Because, again, you get how to do TV. You're making them look good. You're making the show look good. And then people want to tune in to watch more of that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So what would be your top three?
Yeah. So one thing that I hear from producers a lot is they like to have things, unless they're doing something totally outside of the box, in which case they'll tell you, make a recipe that's easy for a home cook to do in their own home kitchen. So don't bust out, like, you know, the head of cauliflower that has to be boiled for 45 minutes and deep fried, and then you make the tahini sauce, because no one's going to be able to do that. Do something simple. Make sure you send them a recipe that's made, you know, with cups, tablespoons, cut down. You might be making it for 20 people. Imagine what, you know, a mom of four would be making for dinner that night. Because, again, that makes for good TV. So that would be number one.
Wait, just
number
stop right there one second, because I want to agree with you completely. Because a lot of us chefs, people like myself, like Jeff, even your husband, I mean, I would take a recipe written out in, like, weight over, like, volume measurements any day of the week.
Yes.
But most 100%. People don't do that.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how many times I've sat there with, like, the conversion to figure it out. Because, again, that's part of my job, is to help people do that and translate it. And I'm more than happy to do so. But if you're out there representing yourself, building a name for yourself, just think about what would you do if you were going to give this recipe to your mom? And what does your mom have in her kitchen? so that she can make it at home, because chances are your mom's going to be watching this. That's who's watching these TV segments, right?
That's very true. Very true.
Then number two would be always thank the producer afterwards and make sure to ask if there are future opportunities to go on. You know, simple thank you goes a long way, and that way they know that you enjoyed the experience. If you did a good job, maybe you can go back on. I mean, for you, you're a guest on most of the major channels, right? Once you get that role and you're comfortable with it and they call on you 3-4 times, you know, a year, heck, that could be a big part of your marketing plan right there. And
I mean, each station wants me once a month, and I can't do it.
Right.
You know, I just can't do it. It's too much. But yeah, it's all about that. Be friendly, be nice, you know? Thank you. Be friendly, be nice.
Be courteous, and don't be afraid to sell yourself a little bit. Say, hey, I got this amazing St. Patrick's Day thing coming up. Think about what's seasonal as well when you're emailing people. What do you think is the major holiday coming up, the major event? Do you have anyone for the Super Bowl yet? I can make this amazing thing. So think about it in terms of that, in terms of the stories that they're trying to tell, and you're more likely to get a yes.
Absolutely.
And then the final thing, probably the most important thing, is make sure you get that digital clip and put it on social media, because if you do that, you just gave yourself a free commercial for your restaurant that everybody can see, that you can play over and over again. And if you want to throw just a little bit of advertising money behind that, video does really, really, really well for boosted posts on Facebook.
There you go. That's some great advice right there. I mean, really, Jeff, that's gold. I mean, that's, people pay money to hear that sort of stuff.
Absolutely.
Anybody can do this. Anybody can do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think so.
But it takes work. And that's what you were saying earlier. I think that's really important. It takes work. You have to actually do it. You can't, nobody does it for you unless you pay someone like you to go in there and do it for them and make it amazing.
Right.
And have someone smart behind you. You want someone on your team who's smart and who is fully on your team. You know, I've worked with people in the past who don't really, you know, they think of you as a stepping stone. They want to work with you, but they want to work with you because they want to get their own stuff on TV, or they want to get their own brand out there. And it never seems to really work out for those people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people know when they're being used, right? Nobody likes that. Nobody likes that. So you got to be careful when it comes to your relationships. And look, having a PR person is great. Having a marketing agency behind you is great. But not everyone can afford to do that, especially when you're just starting out, money's tight. Yeah, you should definitely set aside some money for marketing. But let's face it, a lot of people, especially chefs, if you're opening a restaurant for the first time, you might just be trying to figure out how you're going to pay for the wine in the cellar and, you know, pay your servers that week. So one of the main things you can do if you are doing it yourself is don't be overwhelmed. Just pick one thing and execute that thing really, really well. So if you're going to go after TV, put in the time for it. If you're going to be doing events, put the time in that. If you're spending, you know, advertising money on your own, just choose one thing. Don't stretch yourself too thin, because then you're going to do 20 things badly, when chances are, if you give yourself the time, you can just do one thing well.
So that brings up a great topic right there. So, and we've heard something similar from other people in the past, but what do you think is, so you are just opening a restaurant, you are just getting started, you're opening a catering company, restaurant, whatever. What do you think is the best way to go to try to get some marketing with a very minimal budget? What do you think is the best way to do that?
Well, again, it depends on what you're saying by minimum budget. I would say that, you know, working with an agency is really going to do yourself a lot of good. But you also want to hire the right people. I'm not saying you have to hire us. This is not a shameless plug, but there are several agencies in the state that really specialize in restaurant and hospitality marketing. I would call those people first and see if they have room on their list. A lot of small businesses, sometimes they're accepting clients and sometimes they're not. For us, we're a small business. Sometimes we have space, sometimes we don't. But if you came to me and we didn't have space, I would absolutely hook you up with someone I knew and trusted. Another thing is, when you're sitting down with an agency, don't hire the people who tell you how great everything is. You want to hire somebody who kind of makes you feel like there are a lot of problems, because those are the people who are going to be really realistic about what needs to be done in order to get you results.
Yeah, and you
so
and I
spending
also
money
talk
on marketing is...
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. Wow. Oh, no, I was just going to say, it's what you call pain marketing. So, you know, there's pleasure spending. If you go out and buy a big boat, that's fun. It's nice. When you spend money on something like marketing, you're spending it because you have to. It should hurt a little bit. You should hire somebody who's a little critical of your business, because they're going to take your weak parts and make them look better. If you hire somebody who just tells you what you want to hear and says yes all the time, chances are that person's just going to take your money and run, and you're not going to get anything out of it. So,
yeah, that's a really good way to look at it. It's a difficult way to look at it because you don't want someone telling you what you're bad at. But
no, you don't want to hire someone who's like, you know, totally an asshole, pardon my French. But you want to have someone who's realistic and understands that marketing can be a challenge, especially digital marketing. And they say, hey, I have $200 to spend on Facebook ads. What is this going to get me, realistically?
Right. And be able to show for it, that's for sure. I think that you and I have talked about this in the past, too. I think one of the first things you should do when you're going to hire a PR person or a marketing place is go to their Instagram or their social media and see what they're posting. You know,
100%.
I mean, there's a lot of people who just post pictures of themselves, which I don't understand that.
I mean, I mean, a lot of people want to be influencers as well, and the selfies. And,
this is a national show. I'm not going to call anybody out by name, but like do see them a lot.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's important from an etiquette perspective for us. You know, I'm very flattered that you invited me on the show today. But my first thought when you emailed me was saying, hey, we have some amazing clients. Are you sure you don't want them on instead? If I'm accepting people's money, I am advocating on their behalf, not on my behalf. And I want to make it all about them, not all about me. So yeah, you do want someone who might be a little more behind the scenes. I agree with that.
That doesn't mean we're not going to have guests on like that either. It's just, you know, listen.
Right.
I like you. You're smart when it comes to this stuff. I think you have a lot to share with people. And I think it's good for you.
You know, you're so nice to me, and I was so mean to you earlier. I almost feel bad.
I didn't forget.
I'm really close to feeling bad.
I didn't forget. Don't worry. The uppercut's coming for the end of the program, I promise.
Really?
You did teach my daughter
really
how
smart,
to do insults. That's true. So, Jeff, he met my daughter, who's 6, and he taught her how to make up insulting names for people, which was a real gift. Let me tell you.
Look, that's amazing. It's just education. Listen, Jeffy, give a plug up there for Pat and for a little bird.
Absolutely. Do you want to follow her on her social media? You want to get on there? It's Twitty Cat. It's like it sounds. And then also check out Bird Social Media at Bird Social Media on Instagram and Twitter and birdsocialmedia.com. If you're looking to reach out to her and ask her for some information, throw her some money, and maybe she'll take you on as a client, make you look beautiful like she does.
Look, so this is the thing I think it's pretty cool about what you do, is that you're kind of on the forefront of it. Well, where media is changing, the world is changing how we consume media. Getting yourself out there has never been easier but more difficult than ever, because there's so many different avenues to do it in, you know? So I think having someone like you to do that is very, very helpful. When you look at media and how it's changing, you know, what do you think are some things people waste money on? Does that make sense? If that's a bad question, you don't have to answer.
Oh, sure. No, it totally makes sense. And people waste money all the time. I would say one of the number one things that restaurants waste money on is, ironically, photo shoots.
Yeah.
Photo shoots are so important. Making your food look good is so important. You know, a good friend of mine, Winter Kaplan, has told me before, she has worked with some people, especially like fairs and festivals, where she'll do pro bono photo shoots for them, and then it kills her because they don't use the pictures. Or they'll take the pictures and they'll put them on the website, but they don't use them on social media. So if you're doing something involving professional photography, post the friggin' pictures. And don't just post them all at the same time. You know, if you get 72 pictures, that could be 3 months worth of content there that you have to use.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So make sure that, you know, you are, again, following through, I think, is important. And we touched on this a little before. So you decide you want to do the thing. The first thing is initiation. Then step 2, 3, and 4 is execution. And that's definitely a big part of any agency workflow, is just project management. All the little details that go into it. So that would be one. And another big area would be just spending money without really understanding where it's going. So not everyone needs an agency, but I would say if you're about to put $10,000 towards a billboard or TV, you really should call an agency, because they can get you better rates. They might be able to help you place that creative just off of an agency commission so that you're not even getting charged more. They might tell you that what you're doing is really overpriced. So digital advertising is a good example of that. Our digital buyer went head-to-head on a pitch with another big media station in the area, who I'm not going to name, but their digital media for the exact same impressions was twice as expensive as what we charge. Wow. For the exact same thing. That happens all the time. It's so hard to know what things should cost, how much you should spend. I mean, radio is great, but think about restaurants. Restaurants are a visual place, so especially if you're fine dining, is a radio campaign really going to be good? A billboard. How effective is your billboard? Can people actually read it?
That's
is it a nice photo?
I was going to bring it up to you. Like, things like, I think billboards are a waste of money. I mean, listen, when do you see a billboard for the most part? When you're driving, right?
Right.
So are you going to stop driving and take down the info on your phone so you can remember it or go to it? I just think it's the biggest waste of money there is.
Well, if you do a billboard, you're going to keep it really simple. You got to make it simple, and it probably shouldn't be the only thing that you do.
Right. So it shouldn't be the whole campaign.
You know,
it
is your producer.
Yeah. Be a part of the campaign.
She's our media buyer, and she'll tell you, you know, sprinkle your budget around a little bit. Do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And digital is almost always going to be the first line of defense that we recommend because you have a lot less waste. You know, you got people driving, for example. You got a small restaurant, one location. Uh-huh. You might have 50,000 people driving by you that way, but only 2,000 of those people actually live in the town where your restaurant is.
Right.
So why not do something to reach those, you know, 20,000 people who are actually in that town? I'm making up numbers, but that's how it goes.
What about things like festivals? Like, do you think those are good for people, for awareness of restaurants and brands?
You know, I have such mixed feelings about this. I'm glad you brought that up. Some of them are great. So my good friends, Rory and her husband, who's an excellent videographer, if you ever need somebody, and she owns Harper Prince downtown, do this amazing beer festival called Small State Great Beer. That one I can't say enough about. It's well executed. The marketing's tight. People show up. But a lot of them, they might not be the best avenue because with food especially, you know, beer is a little different because people tend to be beer geeks. They'll write it down. A lot of people who buy a $40 ticket for a food festival are just doing it because they want to have a good time. They're not necessarily doing it because they want to hear about different restaurants. So I know for me, by the time I've tried 10 different bites of food, I can't even tell you what I tried, let alone who anybody is.
Totally.
So I think you have to be choosy, and then you also have to make really good marketing handouts. So don't ever do that unless you have a really good flyer or postcard or something that people will actually take home and keep to remember who you are.
So when we would do, when Jeff and I were doing, they had it come and do the Mohegan Sun event, which was a massive, huge event.
Right.
The past 2 years, I tried really hard to have some kind of swag to give away. Like I would buy, have some things. Like we had t-shirts, we've had stickers, just something to give away at the event. And we didn't do it this year. I think it was a mistake. I mean, do you think that stuff makes a difference?
I think it makes an enormous difference, absolutely, because it's something that people can remember you by. And again, all you're really looking for is a little return on your investment, right? So say you spend $1,000 between your manpower, your food costs, everything else you're driving to get to this event, you get one or two good customers out of that because you gave someone, you know, a coaster and they take it home and then they look at it and they remember your restaurant and they come back.
Yeah.
That's where you're making your money. Otherwise, people just probably don't remember who you are. And it doesn't matter how good your food is. And then again, if people are drinking, that certainly doesn't help. And it's not like it's a pop quiz where everyone's handed a sheet at the end. It's like, hey, who did you try? So yeah, you have to do a lot to stand out. And I think swag really, really helps.
Jeffy, next year, I want to give away Plum Love Foods breathalyzers.
Love it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great idea.
That's what we're going to do. And Kat, one of the other guys on our team is like, hey, can we get a t-shirt cannon? And I said, let me ask Kat if that's a good thing to buy.
I think it's an amazing thing to buy. Look, if you don't believe in branded content, let me just segue really quick about Aperol Spritz, because that's probably the best branded content success story you can have. So Aperol Spritz was not really a thing in the United States.
Right.
And then it exploded like crazy because the Aperol Spritz brand managers heavily marketed in the Hamptons for one summer. And they made it the hot drink in the Hamptons. I think we've talked about this before. They did the orange bar carts. They branded the Jitney bus just all over the place. Especially if you're talking about liquor, branding is so, so, so important.
Yeah, 100%. You couldn't be more right about that. I mean, you brought up the Hamptons. It's a great spot that, you know, I love, Montauk Brewing Company. And literally, they have made, and Jeff, you can vouch for this too, they have made it
to where it's like sexy to drink beer again. Where, you know, beer used to have the stigma of, you know, guys with beards and drinking and wearing whatever weird Brooklyn outfits we're wearing, you know, at a brewery. Where Montauk Brewing Company, I mean, it's literally like everyone there looks like they should, you know, be in an Abercrombie and Fitch photo. It's crazy. Am I wrong, Jeffy?
No. They definitely love that whole. They're definitely pushing that beach town vibe with the canned beer, and it's like super drinkable. It's like really crushable beers.
I mean, they've been in Vanity Fair. They've been in Vogue. They've been in Real Housewives are always taking pictures over there. You know, all those Real Housewives shows, just because it's so trendy. Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't know. I don't know their backstory. I don't know who they're exclusive to do all that stuff. You think it's just because the beer is so delicious, or you think it's because they?
It's because of the Hamptons. It's because of Montauk.
Are paying like a great. That's probably true. Montauk's huge right now.
I mean, they have a marketing team. At least they did when we shot Edible there. But you know, it is right. You're right though, Kat. Just getting an alcohol brand like that, and you can get, you know, if you can get a vibe of it, kind of not a vibe,
right? Vibe.
Vibe is maybe was the right word. Like, you get a picture in your head of what it is just
right
when you say it.
100% the right word. And, you know, the same thing holds true for restaurants. You know, a good restaurant just has a great vibe. That's why people go there. It's not just the food. It's who's there. It's how your server greets you. It's how your cocktails look. It's the whole thing. So anything you do when you project that image outward is going to be part of your vibe. And you just want to make sure that that's consistent. That's a big thing. Just everything that you have is consistent across the board. You know, any money you spend. Another thing when it comes to waste, I hate when I see badly shot commercials. And there are so many badly shot commercials out there because people just buy a TV package and then they're like, oh, let us just make this commercial for you. It'll be easy. Oh, sure, it's free. Well, no, because you're spending all of this money. So probably in your best interest to make something that's really going to capture people's attention that you can use on digital and social media as well. And there are so many good videographers out there who are creative and talented and will do a great job. So, you know, just make sure you're spending your commercials well. And don't do the kitchen sink commercial where it's every single aspect of the restaurant crammed into 30 seconds. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I do know exactly which one you're talking about. There it is.
It's like every single one. So, you know, it's like just pick one thing and focus on it and make it sing. It'll be so much better. Keep it simple. Same as with food. Just keep it simple.
Hanging out tonight with the head boss lady at A Little Bird Told Me. Our friend Kat Kluger is with us. Jeff, give some plugs out for us so people can find out where to get more information and where to follow her.
Absolutely. For more information about Bird Social Media, go to birdsocialmedia.com or at Bird Social Media. And if you want to follow Kat, you want to go to Twitty Kat on Instagram and Twitter and see what's going on, see who she's promoting. Because I know it's great, and I'm sure she's going to turn you on to all the hot stuff in Connecticut.
That's right. That's right. That's for sure. And Kat, let me ask you this, Kat. Is Twitter dying? Is Twitter gone?
No, I don't think so. It just depends on what you're using it for. And maybe don't use it to send threatening messages to reporters anonymously in their DMs. Oh, you think you guys can hear about that?
What's that story?
Come on.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. What not to do, 101?
I don't know. I think I know the story. Can you tell it?
Yeah, I'm going to tell it just because.
Again, I'm going to tell it.
You people, you should know better. I don't care who you are. You should know better. So another just really simple message and something that's very important to keep in mind as you're handing out your Instagram and your Twitter passwords to all your staff because they're social media savvy is this is your brand image. And anything you put on this platform is going to be a direct representation of your business.
This is such a good story.
So Hanging Hills Brewery recently got into really hot water because they DM'd a reporter who is not a nice guy by all accounts, someone who is nationally, you know, written up in the Rolling Stone for being a right-wing troll and all of these different things. But, you know, he also happens to be gay and a minority, and this person DM'd him and said that if this person ever entered the brewery, they would throw a milkshake IPA in their face. And then when they were hemorrhaging, they could thank them for the free health insurance. This is totally unprovoked. This person didn't go to the brewery. Wow. They've never been inside it. But, you know, a couple months ago, I guess some Antifa protesters threw a milkshake on this poor kid and maybe he deserved it and maybe he didn't. But talk about poking a bear with no reason. There's just no reason for that. So, of course, this kid screenshots it and makes himself a martyr because that's what he does anyway. And then instead of immediately profusely apologizing, the brewery doubled down and it's like, well, this is aggravating for our employees to have to deal with this. And it's just like, why, guys? So, anyway, national news, what not to do. Don't talk about politics on your social media page. It's just probably not a good idea. You know, if you have a cause you want to support, that's one thing. But you don't need to get aggressive with people. You don't have to be a social justice warrior. It's probably just not the time and the place. Just to sell beer. People like beer. You got a good thing going.
Yeah, absolutely. Just keep it simple.
I love it.
Keep it simple.
Just sell beer. People like beer.
They do. People like it.
I love it.
What was funny in that whole ordeal, though, was, I mean, you would think that, I mean, people were, local people who were, you know, friends of the brewery and other beer connoisseurs in the area didn't side with the brewery there at all.
No, and, you know, I think it's one of those things, too, where, you know, regardless of where you fall on the political spectrum, the message itself was nasty. And the fact that it was a direct message versus, like, a tweet, which, you know, one of the nice things about Twitter is you can tag and mention people and kind of create a public conversation. This is something that they sent privately. And so that was a little on the aggressive and sneaky side. And I just don't think that it's that well, regardless of where you are on the political spectrum. And again, it's just not an appropriate use for your brand's identity. Because if you're talking on your own, you know, account, do whatever you want, say whatever you want. But when you're talking about your business, you're selling something to the public. You know, keep it PC, keep it light, keep it entertaining. And don't threaten people with physical violence.
Right.
Probably should just go without saying, but there you go.
Unbelievable.
And
right?
Don't threaten people.
Yeah.
But just sell beer. People like beer. People like it.
A lot of people like beer.
Man.
I just don't know why everyone has to get, I mean, I understand people feeling like strongly about a certain topic, but why they choose to like, you know, from, like, why not use your personal page? Like, why do it from business? Like, why be like, oh, us, it's a business, think you suck, and we'll do, you know, it's like, why not just be like, hey, I'm Bill, and I hate you, or whatever. Right. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's like,
just me, Bill.
Yeah.
Well, they probably thought they had a bigger reach with the business account, you know, that's why.
Maybe, yeah. Or, you know, you just forget what account you're logged into, and you just fire off a message.
Absolutely. Well, you know, on a more positive note, Kat, you really took a swing for the fences here with a project that we are currently working on, Elite Chef, which is doing very, very well. So far, the customer seems to be happy with what we're doing. And
100%.
We're done shooting, but we can't reveal what happened yet. That doesn't air till next week. But overall, taking a chance like what we did with very, very different, you know, form of advertising than what these folks are used to doing. Can you talk about how it's different? Like how was that to convince them about that, to bring them on board? And, you know, how different is this compared to like a traditional advertising campaign?
Oh, it's hugely different. And I think a lot of times when people buy advertising, they just buy something that they feel they can understand and that they can see and they can touch. You know, that's what people loved about print advertising. It's like, I can literally see my ad and I know where it is. Even when you do digital advertising, it moves all over the place. You know, it's difficult to explain to people that, you know, different people are being targeted by this. And unless you get a screenshot, you might not even see your own ad if you're browsing online. So it's a lot of very, very intangible things. And then what we did really with Elite Chef is branded content, which also happens to be, thanks to you, a very, very well-produced reality TV series cooking competition. But it's a little bit of a tough sell to convince people who are maybe, you know, a little on the old school side and just getting comfortable with social media, that this is a good place to park their marketing dollars. I think that the views that you're getting speak for themselves, though.
Yeah, what I think is also really cool about it, and I've given Eli's a lot of credit for this every time that anytime anyone talks to me about it, is the fact that we did this whole piece. And while Chefs for Eli's definitely could have auditioned and been a part of it, they weren't. It's just they provided a platform for some local chefs who maybe wouldn't have normally gotten a platform to do something cool like this on. And they opened their doors up and they made this happen in their different restaurants to have other chefs in. I mean, there's not a lot of people who would do that. I think that's so awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's the sort of thing that resonates well with people and that people really appreciate. And I'm just going to throw this out here because I just thought about this. But I think that another great, low-cost, easy-to-execute marketing idea for any restaurant is to do a fundraiser for a local cause and just donate a portion of that day's sales to a local charity. And then maybe let a local news station know that you're doing it as well. Because people love it when you are making things about a greater cause and when you're not making it all about yourself. Another issue and problem with marketing is in the age of social media, people don't want to be sold to, you know, and they're just interested in what's in it for them. So when you're doing your social media, you want to put information out there that's, you know, factual, accurate, and what people want to be interested in. And they still might scroll right by because they just don't care. So you give them something like this. You make it all about these awesome, energetic, up-and-coming chefs. You know, the fact that they didn't put any of the Eli's people in is good because then you can't accuse anyone of playing favorites. You know, it's a little difficult to do it on both sides. And then people tune in to watch it. And then in the middle of it, you're doing this awesome plug for the restaurant. So people are learning about the restaurant. They're learning about cool chefs in the community. And then they're going to go check it out. And it's just a win-win for everybody.
Absolutely. And I think that's been the funnest part about the whole thing is just, you know, being able to showcase the restaurant itself, not just so much in the commercial piece that we do in the middle of it, but more about while we're there as well. You know, focusing on, you know, whether it's the Great Bar program or the they make amazing burgers here or this makes amazing pizza here. Using what they do to be a part of the show, I think, is one of the things I'm proudest of when we're doing the program.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you really spent a lot of time in understanding the personality of each restaurant and bringing it to life. That's another amazing thing about video. Video lets you tell so much more of a story than other mediums do because you get to see it, you get to, you know, have the full experience of it other than smelling the food. Like, that's it. You really understand what that place is like when you watch a video like that.
100%. And I think it came across as fun. You know, I think people, you watch it and you're like, wow, that place, not just the show, but Eli's, it looks like fun. Mm-hmm. Jeff, you mentioned that several times and, you know, you live in New York, you're not from here, but you come here to be a judge, and you would even say, man, it's fun in here.
Yeah, every single one of their places is really fun, and they all have a different vibe to them, and they're like, every single place had a different sort of, like, nightlife scene that we were in, which I thought was really cool, like, as it got later, like, the bar scene would really pick up, and you started seeing, like, all these, like...
Totally.
And you could tell, it was, like, a lot of cool young people hanging out there.
Yeah, 100%. I love them. And, you know, Kat, my question for you about that is that so when we pulled the trigger to make this happen, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, as far as, like, the difference between doing, like, a regular advertising campaign and something like this, I mean, they were all about it, right? There wasn't, like, a lot of pushback from it.
From the Eli's people?
Yeah.
Oh, there was a ton of pushback in the beginning. No. I mean, they trusted us once they started, and that's the beauty of working with a client like that. Eli's is a wonderful client to work with because they let us do our job, and they aren't afraid to spend money, but then they don't sit there and say, oh, you got to do this and this and this because it's our money. Just like I wouldn't hire you to cook, chef, and then sit there over your shoulder and say, hey, are you sauteing this right now? My husband would 100% do that, and I apologize in advance if you're ever in a situation like that, because I know he will. But the best people to work with are the ones that just let you do your job, right?
I don't think you're giving your husband enough credit. I don't know. Once you have an actual chef and someone in there and you trust them, I don't know. Like, yeah. Me as a chef, like, if Jeff's gonna cook, if Jeff cooks for me, I'm not going to question him. Let him cook. And I don't
well,
know. I think
we'll
Scott
find out.
And I,
know. Maybe
Scott
this
and I
is
hit it
what
off.
He does to me.
Well, that's different.
Yeah,
see, that's different.
True.
Scott and I hit it. I think he'd be okay
with
it.
You guys are
friends now. Yeah. I made him laugh a bunch.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to find out. So.
We'll
he is
Jeffy
very
cook.
Opinionated, though.
We'll have Jeffy cook for us. That's what we'll do.
I think that sounds great. We'll see that after this.
I would love to cook for everybody. You know I love to cook.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
We'll have to figure out time for a party.
Well, we're going to be doing some fun things in the Hamptons this summer. We're definitely going to be calling on you, Kat, to help us out with it because we're going to need some real PR marketing behind it. Right, Jeffy?
Absolutely. We're going
to
blow up.
You just had to say Hamptons. That's it. Hamptons summer. That's not a tough sell for me. But to get back to your question too, Chef, I think that this was a little bit of a tough sell for the Eli's folks because doing stuff like this is very, very new. And oh, you just think about how far technology's come in our lifetime. It is crazy. So it used to be easy to place ads, right? You call your radio station, you call your newspaper. Now there's literally 50, 60, 70 different places to put your money. And there are so many different places that people are going for content. And people are just used to it. I was thinking about it today, just going through Spotify and looking at all the podcasts and all this stuff that I can get for like no money every month. Like
oh,
nothing.
My God. I know,
and
right?
all of this is just available to me. So today's consumers are so spoiled. We're so spoiled in terms of like what we want to get passively delivered to us. And it's kind of hard to swallow for people to understand that, yeah, this is the kind of thing that you need to do in this day and age to capture people's attention.
Well, I said this on the show last week. Obviously, I know you weren't here, Kat, but I read a stat somewhere. And Jeff, I told you this last week too. And I think it's like before 2009, right? There was, you know, X amount of content out there and X amount of content coming out. But today, mm-hmm. like we have more content that comes out on the internet today in one day than comes out on the entire history of the internet before 2009.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
That's kind of hard to even understand what that means, right?
In one day, more content comes out via YouTube, Vimeo, just all the websites, Facebook, Instagram. Twitter, more content comes out in one day than came out all of 2009 and backward. Everything, including television, everything. It's a crazy world that we live in now because we all have these 4-inch, 5-inch, 6-inch little screens in our pockets everywhere. Nobody has cable TV anymore. You know, it's insane.
No.
I think how much easier it is to do everything, too.
Well, it is. The equipment is becoming way more available and things like that. You look at our buddy Dame Drops. I mean, this dude is putting content out left and right nonstop. I was up early as hell this morning, and he's putting content up. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
That man works hard. He is a worker, and he is good at what he does.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Hopefully, maybe we'll see more of him very soon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully.
Nice. But yeah, I think that is one of the challenges, too, for restaurants, for everybody in this day and age, is how do you get people's attention? You have all this competition, you don't have a lot of time, and everyone's scrolling, looking, being bombarded by stuff all day long. So how do you cut through that noise and make sure that whatever you're spending is actually effective? Because it is also easy just to waste your marketing budget in this day and age.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And there's so many different ways to spend it. That's why I think it's super important to have a professional who does this help you do it. As restaurateurs, as chefs, as private chefs, as caterers, your time is spent better elsewhere. You know, you don't need to spend all your time having your, you know, trying to come up with plans and things like that to market yourself and get your name out there. Hire a professional. Let them help you do it because generally they're pretty good at what they do. Just listen to what Kat said here on this program tonight. Jeffy?
Well, I appreciate that. I very much appreciate that. Thank you.
That's
the truth. You know, one other thing I should say that I just thought of is we actually do offer, you know, day-long social media seminar training. So if you don't feel like you have enough budget, you know, and we'll tell you, say we'll meet with you, you tell us how much you have, we'll tell you how much you can put it to work. But say you've got a very limited marketing budget, we will meet with you and sit down with you for like half a day, whatever you want, and just go over all the best practices behind it.
That's huge right there.
That's
so that,
great.
You know, at least that way, if you're doing it yourself, you are doing the best job that you can because, again, anybody can do it, but it's doing it effectively and consistently and well that's going to lead to success.
Yeah, that's really, really awesome because I was just going to say, like, a lot of times it's not that you don't want to hire a PR company or a social media company or somebody to help you. You can't afford to. But if I could, say, like, take somebody on my team who's, like, already social media savvy and I could team them up with you and pay you some money, like, to teach them to then make me money, that's a service in itself that I think is like people should not pass up. I think that's really smart.
Yeah, that's really a good idea, actually, Jeff. I think it's very well put. I mean, no doubt about it. So, Jeffy, let's get one more plug in there before we get Kat out of here. I'm gonna hit her with one more question when we get done here. I'm gonna try to get a freebie out of her.
Absolutely, you should give Kat a follow right now. Get on your social media. Go to Instagram. Go to Twitter. Follow her at Tweety Kat. And then also follow Bird Social Media, at Bird Social Media, and then go to birdsocialmedia.com and check out all the stuff that they're doing. Please give them a follow, give them likes, drop in their DMs, say hello.
Check out events that they do. Of course.
Yeah, 100%. Right?
Check out 100%. Some events.
Yeah.
Kat, you've been really fun and educational to talk to. I want to steal one more question out of you. You got time?
Oh, for you, whatever you need, Chuck.
No, I love to hear. That's what I love to hear. All right, so listen. You got to give everybody one really, really good freebie tip when it comes to social media. Something that maybe they haven't heard before, something that wouldn't be obvious. What would be one good tip you would give to somebody? Maybe they have a good social media following already that might help them, or maybe it might help them build their social media following to be a little bit bigger. What do you think is a great thing you could tell them, a tip, something they don't know, something that's not obvious?
So your time is your money, right?
Right.
Time is your money. If you want to make your life a lot easier, go on Sprout, go on Planoly.com, go on Sendable. There are probably 10 or 15 different softwares I could throw out there right now. Personally, as an agency, we use Planoly. Get yourself some social media scheduling software. It might even be free if you're just doing it for a couple channels. And if it is a cost, it's not going to be a lot of money. And just plan out your month. So sit down with your time, with your calendar, with your professional photos that you hired somebody to do who knows what they're doing, who understands light, shouldn't cost you that much money. Connecticut Food and Farm is an amazing, very cost-effective resource. If you need something done, hit her up. Her name's Winter Kaplanson. She'll do an awesome job. And just spend an hour or so on a nice Sunday morning when you're not busy scheduling all your posts for that month. I would just put in 1 to 2 posts a week, and then you can sprinkle in some surprise stuff in the moment as it happens, your specials, whatever else. But that's going to do a couple things for you. It's going to give you consistency so that you are consistently posting several times a week. And it's also going to give you a lot of data about the best time you should be posting. A lot of people don't realize that if you post in the morning versus the afternoon, it might make a huge difference in how many people see your post. And it will also give you some data about your customers. So you'll be able to see who's seeing your post in terms of how old they are, male or female, the towns they're coming in. And if you don't really have data about your customers, you're going to make your job a lot harder when it comes to marketing. So this is something that saves time, that's free or practically free to do. And again, these softwares are easy to use. Anyone can use them. So, you know, do yourself a favor and just make your life easier. Don't do it yourself from your phone and have it be the one thing you're trying to get to every day. Give yourself some time and just block it off.
That's a really great tip, Jeff. I'm going to start doing that. I swear to God, I'm going to start doing that because I'm the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk to Jean. She'll hook you up, teach you everything she knows.
Wow. That is a really good idea. So what do you think is the best social media for chefs right now? I know I said one more, but I'm coming at you.
I see Instagram.
Yeah.
I think Instagram's great. What do you think?
I think Instagram also. Jeffy, what do you think?
Yeah.
Well, I love Instagram. For posting photos and stuff like that. I have really been into watching TikTok videos. I don't know how I can. There's like a ton of food TikTok videos that are like really funny and crazy, and like there's people doing some interesting stuff that I think it's going to be a really. I think it's going to be something to watch because it's like
it's
interesting.
100%.
All right. 100%. TikTok is definitely the way. I need to get my kids to teach me more about that. That's all they watch. It's insane. Kat, you're the best. I appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us tonight and give us some tips. I think we all got a little bit smarter tonight, Jeffy, don't you?
Oh, my God. Absolutely. Thank you so much. I mean, I feel like, and everyone out there, definitely reach out to her and hit her up on at birdsocialmedia.com and at birdsocialmedia and at TwittyCat. Hit her up all over there. Follow her. See what she's doing. See if you can glean any more tips from her as you watch her work. Because I'm
so
like,
awesome. Thank you.
We're gonna have you back on. You're
really,
an open door, Kat.
Really,
you let us know. You got an open door whenever you want to come back on. We'd appreciate
it. I love it. And let me just stop and say thank you, guys. Both of you. You know, you both do so much for the chef community, for the food community in Connecticut. You build this community. You make this community with all the hard work that you guys do, and it's, you know, it's. It means a lot. It makes a difference for a lot of people. So,
you're very sweet.
Guys.
We really appreciate that. Jeffy, kind words. You're a very, very smart individual there helping everybody out. We're going to get Kat on down the road and get her out of here. When we come back, you guys, Jeff, have you seen the new marketing thing that Burger King's doing? The bullying versus the bullying of a Whopper Jr. Have you seen this yet?
No.
Oh, we're going to talk about it when we come back. Kat, you're the best. Well, Kat, we'll see you guys in a few minutes right here on Plumlee Foods Live.
Thank you, guys. Cheers.
Jackfruit, Jeffy. It's honestly the best vegan food I've ever had.
No doubt. We learned all about it on our trip in Mexico this year.
Hey, it's Chef Plum and Chef Jeff from Plum Love Foods Live talking Upton's Naturals.
Upton's Naturals is an independently owned natural foods company with a focus on meat alternatives and vegan values since opening in 2006.
Hey, that's right. Now Upton's has launched the first-to-market seasoned, ready-to-eat jackfruit in the whole United States.
With great flavors like Thai curry, original, sweet and smoky, sriracha, chili lime, barbecue. Man, I am getting hungry.
Well, you haven't eaten in 12 minutes, so that makes sense. Try it, man. This stuff is great. Amazing tacos, sandwiches, you name it.
I'm still hungry.
Yeah, me too now.
Upton Naturals available now on Amazon.com, ThriveMarket.com, RabbitFood.com, and more.
And of course, check out UptonsNaturals.com. Let's get some tacos.
I love tacos.
Me too. Coming back live, Plum Love Foods live. Getting that marketing education, Jeffy.
Dude, my head's reeling. I was like taking notes. She just dropped some major gems. I hope people are paying attention.
Dude, I'm seriously thinking about getting one of those apps that schedules my Instagram posts. I think that might be helpful because I'm terrible at it.
Yeah, that kind of stuff I think is really smart, especially if you're going to have stuff lined up. I think that's something that we should talk about off air. To just start getting just to start getting all the stuff on the feeds like she was talking. The thing that I thought that was really smart that she said is how she'll go in and train someone, and you know, you can pay her money and she'll help. I mean, you know, you're not gonna have all the insights that she has, but she can go in there and she can teach somebody how to like get themselves going, and I think that's like a priceless service. You know, if you're a new business getting started, I mean, she's in there showing you the ropes and showing you how to get this stuff going. I mean, who doesn't want to do that? Who doesn't want to be more, you know, out there and get their brand out there better and be seen and all that stuff? It's like, I'm still blown away. I'm like, I want to get her back on.
Well, I mean, honestly, you think about it. I mean, the unfortunate part of it is, and the true story part of it is that in our business, in the food business, restaurant business, chef business, catering business, whatever kind of business is in the hospitality industry, listen, your best form of marketing is going to be social media. It's inexpensive, and it reaches the most people that you can see the most return on. So if you're not getting with it, you need to get with it.
Absolutely. And we're seeing that firsthand by doing Elite Chef. You know, we're seeing that actually work and happen, and we have a really happy client.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Who wants to do another season because we social media is a super powerful thing. And man, thanks a lot, Kat, for coming on Twitty Kat on Instagram and Facebook, or excuse me, on Twitter and at Social Bird Media and socialbirdmedia.com.
No,
get out there.
No. Bird told me social media.
I don't have it right in front of me. I'm terrible. I walked away from my paper.
I said to myself, oh, Jeffy doesn't have it in front of him. This is going to be good. Let's see where he goes. He's trying. I give him the credit for wanting to put it. He was right. It was the perfect spot to put it in, but he doesn't know what to put in.
I Twitty Cat is definitely her handle. I did get that right.
I thought for sure that he's using the Twitty Cat time to find the rest of it. you can find him at A Little Bird Told Me on Instagram and all the other social media platforms, man. A great company to work with, really nice people. They do a fantastic job. However, we have to talk about the one disconnect we did have in that whole conversation. You and I got very excited when she talked about having connections to Colt 45. We you know, immediately 20-year-old me jumped up and was super excited, and I was like, man, if we could get Colt 45 to sponsor this podcast, I mean, talk about dreams come true, right? Didn't you feel the same way?
Oh, yeah, that's all I could think about. I was freaking out. I heard angels sing. I saw me and you in smoking jackets, like Billy D. Williams with Colt 45 toasting amazing over a delicious meal. Oh,
amazing. But it turns out, and we should have caught on right away, but we were too in our own world creating and painting pictures with our words when it came to shooting this new video content we're talking about doing. However, when she said, I don't know why we'd have all the people holding guns, we should have caught on.
Yeah, we absolutely should have called on. Oh, and by the way, I was not wrong. It's Bird Social Media. At her company, as Little Bird told me, at Bird Social Media is her handle, and birdsocialmedia.com is how you get a hold of her.
But that's not what you said.
It is. I said Bird Social Media.
No, you were like Bird Feeders or something.
No, you're not.
I don't know what you were talking about. It was like you were like you check out Audubon Society. I'm like, we're not watching birds, Jeff. You're not even close.
I wanna go to the tape later because I'm telling you, I think I had that one. I think I had Bird Social Media. Cat, your boy had you. Just saying.
I don't know if that's true, Jeffy. I think you were plugging like some kind of like Cardinal Watching Society.
Oh, could you imagine? That would be funny after the Colt 45 thing.
Hey, if I'm wrong there, I'll take the hit. I apologize, Jeffy.
Vice versa. You know, I'll take it on the chin, but I'm pretty sure that I had that one.
All I know is it was a terrible time to plug the Cardinal Society that watches sparrows or whatever it was you were talking about.
The Cardinal Society, it sounds like something like, oh man, I'm going to make a bad joke. Forget it.
Weren't they in the Eyes Wide Shut? Wasn't that a Kubrick thing?
the Cardinal Watching Society is a church group organized to keep an eye on the altar boys.
Right, right. Well, as the ADD program struggles on, literally, we thought she was talking about Colt 45 malt liquor. She was talking about the company Colt, and she cut 45. She just threw numbers in there. The gun manufacturing company Colt, I guess, is in Hartford, and she knows those people. That's what she was talking about.
Which leads me to announce our next exciting thing. Plum and I are going to go on tour with Colt handguns.
That's true.
And we're going to be selling them at gun shows across America. Get ready, gun enthusiasts. Chef Plum and Chef Jeff are going to be out there firing it down.
That's right. That's right. Listen, I don't think it's a problem. I don't have a problem with that, but some people might. I don't know. I'd do it.
I think you should bear arms or arm bearers, whatever the hell you want to do. It's America.
Let me tell you what, this weather keeps up. It's going to be suns out, guns out, and I'm going to be bearing all kinds of arms, Daddy.
Oh, man, I'm getting so excited.
Well, look, before we get out of here, I want to talk about, because it was a marketing show, talking about marketing, Burger King put out a new ad. It was an anti-bullying ad that is really getting a lot of attention. I think it's got like a couple million views on YouTube already. It's a hysterical commercial until you really start watching it, and it's hurtful. Basically, the whole idea is they've got a...
It's hysterical, and then it's hurtful.
Yeah, but it's a high school junior versus a Whopper junior in a bullying contest, essentially. So basically what they do is they had some actors, some child actors, portray high school students in this this piece. And one of them is a junior in high school, and the other one's a little bit bigger, I guess seniors or whatever. And they're bullying the one kid inside of a Burger King. Around like people in there eating their Whoppers and whatnot.
Yeah, I think it's so smart. I think it's one of the smartest commercials I've seen in a minute.
I mean, and then like they show how many people actually say something or stand up for the kid or jump in there. Then it cuts to a scene with the Burger King cook in the back and a Whopper Junior, and he's smashing it and yelling at it and punches it, so it gets a little smushed and broken up in the paper. They wrap it up and they serve it to a customer. And the customers, of course, when they open it up, they are so offended, they take it back to the counter and demand a new Whopper. And it was almost what, like he said, like 89% of the customers or something like that actually took their Whopper back up, which is remarkable because I thought it would be 100.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Their point was, you're more likely to complain and say something about a burger being messed up than you would about a kid being picked on. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, very powerful. Very powerful imagery, and I think it's really true. You know, it's like a lot of people would be way faster to complain about something that affects them directly, right? Like like my burger being messed up affects me directly. But if you see somebody saying something wrong to a child or a woman or somebody that's like helpless, and you don't step in there, you know, I don't know. I feel like that just says something about our society. I'm glad that Burger King's taking a stand to like kind of show people the silliness of that. You know,
I mean you're right. It was a brilliant commercial. It's very well done. It's brilliant. It's like it has some funny parts to it. But then once you realize what they're doing, you're just like, damn, that's really harsh, man. I mean, but they're right. I mean, I can tell you from past experience, I would stand up for the kid immediately. I would jump right in there. I wouldn't think twice about it.
Yeah.
Would you?
Well, because, you know, of course, man. We're heroes for the less fortunate, man. We're here to inspire hope. We are called to come down and rain thunder on the bad guys.
That's right.
Come on, man. We ain't letting that go down. We ain't bullying kids around me.
The piece does end on a positive note when it shows some of the people who did stand up for the kid and talks to them and interviews them and stuff. And I thought that was really cool. And, you know, it's I guess it's funny that it takes, like, someone to really look at a burger being smashed to really, you know, get some eyes on that. And that thing, it's been everywhere, man. USA Today, New York Times, yeah. Everyone's posting it.
Like I said, I think it's very, very powerful imagery. I think it really highlights how selfish we are. A lot of us are, you know, a lot of us are very selfish. A lot of us would be very distraught if someone punched our burger, but don't give a shit if some kid or somebody gets knocked over or whatever happens. And that imagery is really powerful. And I think it checks with a lot of people. And I think it makes a lot of people kind of like, whoa, you know, like you said, and like, think about it. Maybe hit some people a little low. Maybe some people are feeling a little, like, you know, condemned by it. But, you know, I encourage people to just, you know, use that information to stand up for the little kid, you know, to get out there and be positive, you know, do the right thing. It only takes one time. Just do the right thing. It's okay. It feels great.
And that kid will remember that forever, I promise you.
Exactly. Feels fantastic to put a smile on somebody's face. I'm telling you, feeling like shit, go out there and give a dollar to somebody who really needs it.
Man,
it's
a great spot. I really just want to be like, wow, Burger King, somebody got a new marketing director because this is crazy.
Really smart to do it about something that's so big in our society today, especially with, like, just how, I mean, everything kind of echoes this sort of thing. Like,
yeah.
The political stances that everybody has, I mean, everything's, you know.
The keyboard warrior days that we live in.
Smart.
You know?
Exactly. And I thought it was super smart to bring awareness to something with a burger, because everyone relates to it. Everyone's been to Burger King. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's had a burger. Everyone's had something that's made them unhappy and like you went up and bitched. You know what I mean? And everyone has probably seen someone get bullied, and not everyone has stood up for them. You know? And it, like, for that to, that connection is so, it connects with everyone on a
absolutely
very base level.
And the piece is only about 3 minutes long, and you can find it on YouTube if you just type in Burger King bullying. It comes right up. You can't miss it. Millions of views. It's making headlines everywhere. And I guess they have a new piece coming out where they're showing a moldy Whopper. I haven't seen what that is yet, but I'm gonna
try. I saw that one too. It's gross. It says, check out your burger without preservatives. And it's just like this, like, green and fuzzy and, like, all different colored burger. It looks so bad. It looks like a burger they left in a glove compartment for a month.
Jesus. Are they saying, like, check out the burger without preservatives because it's a Whopper or something like that?
I don't know, but they're like, check out the burger without your, like, from what I gleaned from it was kind of like, don't bitch about preservatives because it keeps your food fresh. It's kind of what I picked up from it.
I don't think so. It's got to be like, because at Burger King, this is what happens to our food because we don't have any preservatives or something like that.
Maybe that's what they meant, but I thought it was kind of like, eat our food because we'll keep you from rotting on the inside.
I doubt it.
Oh, maybe that's not what they meant.
I'm going to go find it so we can talk about it. I can talk about it next week. I'm going to find it. I got to see what it is now. Anyway, check out that Burger King spot. It's pretty amazing. It's great marketing, and you can see it works because it's going viral. And, I mean, literally in the world that we live in today, as Kat was talking about, social media and viral marketing is the way to go. I mean, you can buy all the commercials you want, but listen, there isn't a commercial on the planet that more eyes saw than our Elite Chef series. It doesn't happen. It doesn't
happen.
Exactly. So,
exactly. And a targeted market, by the way.
Absolutely.
You know, we could really push it in an area that it was going to make sense and make a difference. And that, I think, is a really, really powerful part of using social media as marketing.
He's 100% right, folks. He's 100% right. Well, we hope you guys got a little edumacation tonight, learned a little something different for yourself. I think we're back officially live next week. Is that right, Jeff?
I believe so.
Finally, back live.
Oh, yeah. We have a great guest next week, too. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm super excited. So,
tell him. Who do we got?
Oh, we got Dave Sharotsky, the Filthy Freak Friday founder. He's a funny guy. He's the DAVE. Every Friday he drops a collab. He does some really awesome food. The man is doing the best promos on Instagram if you read his stories, and we're really excited to have him on next week. It's going to be a blast. So.
You got to send him a message. We want him to do a promo for the show so we can use it for, you know, promo
absolutely.
Pieces.
I'm going to hit him up. I'm going to hit him up right now.
Excellent. Well, looking forward to that, guys. It's going to be a lot of fun next week. There'll be more alcohol. As you can clearly see, my voice is not slurring. I haven't had anything to drink yet, so that's good news. I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm way more alert.
There's going to be a lot more of that, Jeffy. I'm going to take it easy on that, on the sauce for a little while.
I'm trying to take it easy on food and the sauce. Mostly beer.
Same thing. All right, you guys. We appreciate you guys checking out the show. Please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. We come to you every week for free. Give it a listen. Give it a check. Give it a little review. Give us 5 stars. We'd like 5 stars. Those are good ratings.
5.
For Chef Jeff, I'm Chef Plum, and remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give it the time it deserves. We'll see you guys next week right here on Plum of Foods Live.
From the Tower of Power, too sweet to be sour, I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.